Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We do want to share this word with you. You know, what we spoke about, because God's been telling us about things that are occurring. And listen, if you've been listening to VFN Radio, we have been sharing it consistently.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do a search. If you're new to VFN Radio, let me tell you, everything is cool. God has been speaking, and thank God for his voice. But you can research, and you can go to the Torch, VFN Torch, by going to VFNTV.com and typing the word prophecy. And God's been speaking and telling us about many things that are to come. But, mm-hmm. We shared not too long on VFN Radio a segment in the highlight called In the Day of This Disaster, Calamity, and Uncertainty. This was a previous broadcast, October the 2nd, which was before the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
and it's just a word that God gave me, because just knowing of what was coming.
That's right.
And again, it's called In the Day of Disaster, Calamity, and Uncertainty. And we want to play this, and we want to come back and talk about this a little bit more. We can get some encouragement, perspective on what's happening. Listen up.
It reminds me how important everyone is in the kingdom of God. You think about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
every yeah. joint supplies. There's mm-hmm. no little I's or little me's or little. Everyone's important. You know, Ephesians 4:16 says that from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament
mm-hmm.
grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
That's
and it's
right.
like, man, there's no insignificant parts. It's just a lie of the enemy that'll tell you that you're insignificant in God's kingdom.
That's right.
It's just a lie of the enemy, because we all need each other. That's the whole thing. It's all of us coming together, praying together, mm-hmm. functioning as the family of God together, advancing the kingdom of God together.
Right.
And we all are not called to do everything. I mean, God's, you know, Jesus gave the gifts to the church, that, you know, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the mm-hmm. teachers, the evangelists, the five hand of God, five finger hand of God, as they call it sometimes, which is the offices in the church. But they're to prepare God's people mm-hmm. for works of service. They're not supposed to do all the works of service. They're preparing. And that's what the church is. It's a family. It's mm-hmm. we're working together.
Right.
No little eyes. No big eyes, no little eyes. It's all one family under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
But it's so important, because it's just what the enemy tries to do. The enemy tries to minimize, you know, who you are, what God's doing in your life, and I'll tell you that you don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
When my goodness, Jesus Christ died for you.
Right.
You matter a whole lot. You're very important to Jesus.
That's right.
And you're very important to the kingdom of God. You know, we all can do something. And I encourage you, you know, you get involved. Get involved. Share your testimony. And oftentimes people say, I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. And they're maybe thinking, I can never do. Let me tell you, the greatest thing that you could ever do, one of the greatest things you could ever do, is share with others what Jesus has done for you. In fact, I had a chance to talk to Darlene. Darlene, I'm giving you a shout out there. Talked to Darlene this weekend, and she was telling me her amazing testimony on how God set her free, man. God set her free over 8 years. She had just battled drugs and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and she's just having a hard time. And she, I mean, just to see it in her eyes, man, it was so awesome. She says, you know, God set me free. And
right.
and I'm not ashamed. Let me tell you, God set me free. And
wow.
It's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful when God can just set you free of anything that you're battling, any sin, anything that's designed to you know, by the enemy to wear you down and pull you down. You're not what you're being attacked with. That's such an important revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy would try to take you out and saying, you're this, you're that. It's like, no, you know, I'm a child of God, you know. And if you've asked the Lord to forgive you and you've repented of your sins, you're forgiven. You know, if you prayed with all your heart and you meant it and mm-hmm. you weren't giving God lip service, don't believe the lies of the enemy.
Right.
Which, let me tell you, the enemy is sowing a bunch of lies these days. I mean, he is sowing a bunch of lies. And the things that were coming on the face of the earth, the things that we're facing and going to be facing, we need to know God, man.
Right.
We need to have a serious relationship with him. And I was thinking about this, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about, in the day of disaster. Mm-hmm. Now, we need encouragement. Oh, and I want to share some encouragement. We need encouragement because in the day of disaster and trouble and uncertainty, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
We need to know in these shaky and uncertain times the one who is certain.
Right.
The one who changes not.
Right. Right.
And so it's so important for us to continue to trust the Lord. It's important for us to know who he is. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things is that we may be surprised when things happen. We may be surprised when disaster may suddenly come upon us. But you know, God's not surprised.
No, he's not.
And God sees yesterday, today, and tomorrow,
right.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
All at the same time. And so, you know, if you're listening today and maybe you're facing a disaster, you're facing a challenging time. You know, a disaster is a calamity, an event, especially one occurring suddenly and causing great loss or damages or hardship. Mm-hmm. You're facing a disaster today. I want to encourage you. We want to encourage you today. We want to add faith, encourage, and add faith to you today because God is faithful. I mean, we have millions of people today that are out of employment. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. If you're out of employment, if you've been discouraged and you're facing a disaster today, let me tell you, God is able. And we have folks that are sick in your body. You know, I'll never forget when my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, we got this report. I mean, he was in stage 4 cancer and didn't even know he had, I mean, just didn't even know it. And the doctor told him, you know, when you get these type of reports, and you know, my experience has been sometimes that, you know, doctors don't necessarily are so forthright in coming. I don't know why that happens, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I always say, just give it to me straight, doc. Give it to me straight, right. You know? But this doctor gave it to us straight, and he told my dad, he said, listen, I don't know how to tell this to you, sir, but you have 1 month to a year to live.
Wow.
And you're just like, wow, you know, wow. Take that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember him and I having this discussion that night when we got back. We're just talking and having some dinner. He says, I don't get it. I just don't get it. He says, I feel fine. How could I be sick?
Right.
How could I be sick? And he went through, you know, a series of treatments and stuff like that. And I tell you, but the Lord healed him. He went to a time of healing, which was really tremendous.
Oh, wow.
11 years of healing, which was great. They told him that he was going to die. Now, listen to this. 1 month to a year. Okay?
Wow.
In fact, what happened was he had bone cancer, stage 4. Huh. He fractured his hip and didn't even know how he fractured his hip. Can you imagine?
Wow.
He goes into this pain, and the doctor says, listen, you know, we can put a new hip, you know, for you, but it could take you 6 months to recover. And our mm-hmm. concern is that you're going to have radiation on that leg, and you just don't know how this thing is going to respond. Mm-hmm. And the doctor looked at him and says, do you really want to spend the next 6 months of your life? You know, you have a year to live. You want to spend 6 months of your life trying to recuperate? And, you know, this is a very serious question. But if my dad locked into what the doctor was saying, that you have 1 month to a year to live,
right.
If he would have locked into that, if he would have locked into that report, I'm talking about facing the day of disaster, facing the time of trouble, facing time of calamity and hardship and shock, right? Mm-hmm. If he would have locked into that, he would have said, you're right. You're right, doc. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just hobble along and, mm-hmm. you know, not go through this. He says, no, I want to go through the surgery. So I remember driving him down to Chan's down in Gainesville and he's having a surgery done down there. You know, or actually he got some special testing or something down there.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, gets a report, and just, I mean, prayer, and we just gave it to God and just prayed over him. Man, 12 years, I believe.
Wow.
11, 12. He went through the chemo, went through everything. It was probably one of the best, it's probably the best decade that he's ever lived. I mean, he's had some challenges throughout his life, and I mean, going through that trial, mm-hmm. I mean, it was amazing. All the things that God restored in his life, restored our relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was restoration everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, if you're going through a sickness today, If you've been diagnosed, let me tell you, God is the healer. The great physician can touch you. He can heal you. He can not just heal you physically, but he can heal you emotionally. He can heal your mind. He can touch you from the inside out. And you got folks, Pat, that are dealing with loss of marriage. You know, oftentimes someone says that, you know, that I've heard them say, and we've talked to them, that going through a divorce sometimes it's like going through a death. Because you're losing that type of a relationship, and you have children involved, and sometimes kids don't understand that, you know, it's, again, calamity, or you're going, you know, you have love, going through financial ruin, you know, and that's a tough thing. Or maybe it's the death of a loved one, or maybe someone you love is away and incarcerated somewhere, and just, there's just so many things you could just go on and on and on and on and on and on about. Right. But let me tell you something, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. I mean, we list these things because I want to relate to you and want to connect with you, because you may be going through something today. And I want to tell you that it ain't over. It ain't over till God says it's over. Let me tell you, God is still on the throne. He knows everything that's going on. He knows the very little hairs on your head at any given moment. And let me tell you, he's not left you. He's not left you. And often, you know, people say, you know, where's God?
Mm-hmm.
He's right here. He's right there in your life. And he's so close, you can reach out to him. The Word of God says that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You know, everyone wants a testimony, Pat. You know, but nobody wants to go through the test.
Nope.
You got to go through the test. I always say, if you don't go through the test, all you got are the monies. You got to have a testimony. You got to have a testimony. And God can pull you through. He can pull you through. But you got to trust him. You got to trust him. You need some things to be able to make it. I'm going to tell you now, if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, it's time. There's nothing like a sobering moment. There's nothing like a time that kind of knocks you off of your rhythm a little bit, kind of just pushes you off of your course, and where you're just realizing, wait a second, you know, God's got my attention. And I often say, you know, don't waste this trial. Why waste the trial? Why waste going through a tragedy, a calamity, a disaster, an uncertain time in your life without fully reaching out to God? And I'm not talking about reaching out for his hand,
mm-mm,
right? I'm talking about reaching out for his face,
mm-mm,
to seek God. Let me tell you something, we're going to be facing some challenging times, but we can get through it with God alone. And God says, listen, man should not live by just bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you got to know him, and you can get to know him. You can get to know him. I mean, oh my goodness, man, I often think about, I mean, the greatest miracle that God can ever do is the miracle of you coming to God.
That's right.
And it's the greatest miracle. Mm-hmm. You making him your Lord and Savior. I remember walking on a college campus when I was just crying out to God. A calamity was going on in my life. You know what I'm saying? Just crying out to God. And I remember saying, God, I need to know. I need to know, like, the grass is green, like the sky is blue, like my name is John. I need to know. You know, I've heard of you. I've heard about you. I've heard the stories. But let me tell you something, when you're going through something, that's not enough. Mm-mm. It's not enough to know of him or about him or to have someone else pray for you. You can talk to him. I said, God, I need to know. And I one of the things I used to say many, many times, and I still say it today, be careful of what you ask God, because he might just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And God knew my heart, but I didn't want to settle for religion. And I didn't want to settle for this idea of God. I didn't want to settle for, you know, knowing of him and about him. I had came to a point in my life that I was going through so much, and I said, listen, you know, I'm like, I am at a point here. I said, God, I need to know you. And man, he made himself so real to me.
Mm.
He made himself so real to me. I remember, you know, and God's just reminding me now, you know, I remember when I heard God's voice for the first time. You know, I was crying out to God, and I received prayer. I actually came to God, and someone prayed for me. I went to go shake the minister's hand. You know, doing the the cool thing. I was Mr. Cool Guy at that time, you know. So I go to shake the guy's hand and just to say, you know, thanks, preacher man, you know, whatever. Thanks for this great message or something. You know, I didn't know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And I go to shake his hand and all he says is, "More Lord." That's all he says. Man, I fall down to the ground and oh my goodness, my whole body just started shaking. I just couldn't believe this. And I start bawling. I mean, bawling. This is like in front of a crowd of people.
Right.
You got to understand this. I'm like 20-something years old at the time. I'm entirely way too cool, okay, to cry at this point. I mean, like way too cool. I just could not control it. Mm. And what I felt was the most amazing, amazing presence of God. I mean, it's just so beautiful. I just couldn't believe it. That was my encounter.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's encounter is different. You don't need an encounter like that. And I've known many that just said, you know what? I'm just turning my heart to God. Don't look for encounters. Don't look for different things. But I tell you, God can do whatever he wants to do in your life, but you can make it. He wants to comfort you. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." He wants to comfort you. He wants to gather you close. He wants to love on you during this time. We need encouragement. We need comfort. Another one he says, don't be so downcast. Don't be so downcast. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, "Who comforts us in all our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Let me tell you something. You're going through something because you want to receive God's comfort. You want to receive God's blessing. You want to receive his encouragement. You want to turn to God, because once you've gone through this, once you've been through the other side, once you've passed through the fires and you haven't been burnt, right, once you've been thrown in the lion's den and the lion got lockjawed and he had no teeth, once you've been through this stuff, you're going to be able to go back and encourage somebody else. This is not a wasted trial. This is not a waste. Don't believe that for the enemy. You know, I like to say wear your scars as medals. You know, God can pull you through this. And he can use this testimony to encourage other people and to strengthen other people. And let me tell you, don't be silent when God does something in your life. Don't be silent when God delivers you. Don't be silent when God rescues you, because he wants you to go back. I remember when Jesus goes out and sets Legion free. Here's Legion. Mm-hmm. He's tearing up stuff, ripping up chains, cutting on himself, out of his mind.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Right.
Out of his mind. And Jesus comes and sets him free. It's like, you know, before Jesus, madman. Jesus arrives on the scene. He's in his right mind, sitting down, combing his hair, you know what I'm saying, fixing his collar.
Put some clothes on.
Yeah, putting some clothes on, because he was just, you know, and he had him by the sea. And so he's like, "Okay, Jesus, I give you my life, and I will follow you wherever you want to go." Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, "No, you go back," basically, and go tell him.
Right.
Go tell him that Jesus lives. Go tell him that the same one who set you free will set them free. We're talking about in the day of trouble, in the day of disaster, in the uncertain times when things look shaky and unshaky, who can you run to? Who's the one that remains the same? It's Jesus. He is the rock. He is the sure foundation. He's the one that you can depend on. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I often say, man, I'm not in a position that I could turn down that type of love. I'm just sorry. I'm not in that place. You know, some people will forgive you. Unfortunately, they may not forget. But Jesus will not only forgive what you've done, but he'll forget. He won't even bring it up again. Mm. The Bible says that he separates your sins as far as the east is from the west. And I'm just like, man, that sounds good to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that.
Right.
I need that. And he offers that to every man. He doesn't wish that any man would perish, but that they would come into an abiding relationship. Listen, you need to have an abiding relationship. Listen, it's not about getting a tape. It's not about reading a book. It's not about, you got to have an abiding, you need to know God for yourself, and you can. You can get a simple plan at iabide.org. Get yourself a journal and start reading God's word and get yourself a plan where you can begin to tune your ears to what the Lord wants to tell you because he loves you. The other thing that you're going to need to survive during these times is the word of God. Mm-hmm. The word of God that's living, that's active, that's sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God that speaks life and encouragement to you in your situation. There's nothing like the word of God.
That's right.
Man, you ever been through something where you're like, you're abiding that morning?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, how did he know? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this one verse, it's like life. It's life because it is life. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the word of God to transform you, to build you, to encourage you. Because he is the encourager. He's the great one. Mm-hmm. So you need the word of God. You need the word of God in your life. You can't skip it. And now you look at the churches, like, you know, 19% of the churches actually reading the word every day. They're abiding. That's not a good place to be at. Well, it means 80% are not spending time with God daily. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes you don't want to have to face trouble to start having abiding time. Now, don't get me wrong, abide at any time that, you know, if it's trouble or not, but you don't, you want to start ahead of time. You want to start ahead of time. And to have a relationship with the Lord. You want to get in his word. I'm talking about unchanging. You know, I've been through some stuff, man, where you didn't know if you were coming or going. Your head's spinning. And it's like, I just need to land somewhere safe that's steady. Because everything and everyone appears to be so shaky. Let me tell you, he is the one.
Right.
He's the one that changes not, right? And then you need God's grace. Mm-hmm. You need God's grace because there's things that you're going to be going through that you're not going to be able to go through it just alone. You're not going to be able to do it within your own strength. And one of the definitions of grace, where it's God's supernatural enablement. It's God's supernatural power, if you will, an impartation for you to do, Pat, what you couldn't do on your own.
Right.
It's like, you know, I can't even pick up my head today. I can't even go to work today. You know, I've been through stuff where, and I'm just being candid and honest with you. And I've been through stuff where I'm thinking, I don't even know if I can get out of bed today. I don't even want to look at a person. I don't want to have a conversation with anyone. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. You know what I'm saying? I know it's just me. Like, Pat, that's never happened to you.
A couple times.
Chris, no, maybe. He said, mm-hmm. But I've been there.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, I need grace. I need grace for the place. I need grace to function. And you know what? If you cry out to him, he'll give you such supernatural enablement. He'll give you such supernatural empowerment to break it. And it's so good. He can touch you. He can bless you. He can give you what you need. Just cry out for grace. Grace is like, you know, if you've ever been to the airport and you're flying out and they have along the hallway, there seems to be like not an escalator, but like a fan belt, if you will, like a belt, a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And you're walking through and you can walk in the center aisle like everyone else, or you can walk on this conveyor belt for maybe 30, 40 feet.
Right.
But what the conveyor belt does, it just pulls you along.
Yeah.
You can actually walk on it, and when you're walking on it, it's like your feet are just, you know, bouncing up and down. You're just flowing with it. You're just moving supernaturally, kind of. You're just flowing down, and that's what it's like. It's because you're carrying a heavy load. Mm-hmm. Well, that's grace. Grace is an empowerment. You couldn't walk. You were tired. You went through all these airport terminals. You're carrying all these heavy bags, and like, I can't drive. You need grace. You need God's enablement to walk this thing out. You need grace to get from one concourse to the next. You know what I'm saying? From one hope to the next. You need grace.
Amen.
You need his word. You need him. And let me tell you something. God can pull you through. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today, no matter what you are facing, put your hope in God. You can trust him, and he is there.
That's so true. You know, here we are facing a calamity, even in the midst of a storm. Mm-hmm. You look at the storms of life. You look at the storm, natural storms.
Right.
This is it. This is the day of disaster, the day of calamity. You can trust God. I know it looks upside down right now. I know that things don't seem right. I know that maybe you don't have power and you're just huddling next to a phone. But whether you're going through a natural storm or a storm in your life, let me tell you something. The only one that can pull you through. Men have philosophies. They have ideas. They try to stick out their chest and pep themselves up and try to psych themselves to overcome challenges. Let me tell you something. The way you overcome is by first giving your life to God and keeping your head low, being totally humble, dependent upon God, and staying in His Word. If you abide with God, if you rest with Him, He will pull you all the way through.
That's right.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Maybe you've heard someone excuse their anger by saying, "That's just who I am." This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and Lisa Turkers suggests that you can overcome those tendencies.
One better reaction can change the course of how we're viewed by other people. And so if you've labeled yourself, "I'm an exploder, I'm just an angry person, this is part of my DNA, I can't help it," I would say, no, you're not a freak out person. You're not. Maybe you've had some incidences where you've panicked and had a bad reaction, but it is possible to make progress in this area. Prove it to yourself by having one better reaction this week.
Every journey begins with a step. So start today with a step in the right direction and see how your relationships benefit from the positive choices and change. For more trusted advice for your life, stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com.
We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. You're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's His permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and He's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but He's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope, and God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh, my goodness. Hears from God. You know, she learned to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's just it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
She's so beautiful, you know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago, and as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and now it's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed, the Bronx, you know, in New York's being blessed, and so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is the key to starting, you know, a great awakening, starting a revival, to stop the judgment on the land.
Right.
You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if is a big word, two letters, let me tell you, a big word, continuing. If my people, God's not talking about the world. I mean, we need to stop with this, the gavels, stop with this judging. It's like, wait a minute, you know. Careful. When you're pointing out one finger, three of them are coming back. And it's like, you know, we need to deal with our own house. God's talking about if my people, right?
That's right.
Those who are called by my name. You know, I mean, come on. If you're a parent, you can relate to this. You ain't worried about the children across the street. If those children are my house, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Who got my last name? If they're cutting up, I want to know about it. I'm not talking about those other people across. I'm not talking about those other kids across the street. If my people who are called by my name, the Lord cares about his name now.
That's right.
Will humble themselves. There's five things, Pat. Mm-hmm. Humble themselves. And there's great pride in the church. I mean, that's one of the things that we really have to be very aware of. Mm-hmm. And pride's just trying to do things outside of God. Mm-hmm. Follow your own way. You know better.
That's right.
You know, pride and arrogance. Mm-hmm. And we need to take heed. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, which is have total dependency upon God, not having any other idols that we spoke about before, idol of self and money and jobs and possessions. But if they will humble themselves and have total dependency upon me and respect for other people, right?
Right.
And pray. Right? Seek me. Talk to me. Come here. Talk to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let's pray and seek my face. Because God just wants us to come to that, get out of that lofty, high position. Because, you know, when you're up high, you get ready because you're about to come down for a crashing fall. Come low. You know, you have to ask yourself, where are you at? You know, lower still. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Lower still. Come off of that place. Bring yourself low, and now that you're at the place of low, of humility, there at that place, begin to pray. You know, I saw a picture the other day, it says the original Facebook, and it had a guy on his knees, okay, and his face was buried in the Bible.
Oh, wow.
It says the original Facebook. I mean, that's why we need to be our knees. We need to be lay low, not offering opinions and ideas. And we need to be praying and dialogue, dialoguing with God and seeking his face, mm-hmm. not seeking his hand, not seeking what he can do mm-hmm. for us. You right. know, God wants us to seek him.
That's right.
There's something about when we're praying that our prayers consume with, you know, God, take care of this, take care of that, and we give him a laundry list and then we're done. You know, God isn't interested in intimacy. He's interested in relationship. Can you just be with me? Can you just enjoy my presence? Mm-hmm. And it's something that we definitely, the church needs to get back to. Get out of these pattern rush prayers and rush time and rushed formulas to God. But seek his face. And get this, Pat. Mm-hmm. Here's the big one. Imagine that. And turn from their wicked ways. You notice that the first thing he does, the word here, the first thing to say, turn from your wicked ways.
All right.
How are you going to know what your wicked ways are? Mm-mm. Unless you are humble, unless you're low, unless you are on your face praying before God and seeking his face. It's right. only then in a humble place that you can actually hear what God is saying. Mm-hmm. You know, always say, well, God's not talking to me. God's like, God is shouting to you. Mm-hmm. You're just not listening.
That's right.
You know, God is speaking all the time. You know, if my sheep hear my voice and follow another, I don't think that God has a talking problem. You know what I'm saying? I think that the problem is we have a listening problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he says, if my people who are called by my name, who humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Dude, we have to... Sin cannot exist. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like God has to deal with.
He has to.
I mean, I often used to say, you know, I say this when I'm evangelizing, sharing the gospel. You know, a police officer wouldn't be a police officer unless he what? Arrest people. I mean,
right.
I mean that's what he, you know,
he enforces the law.
Part of it is his job. But I mean, somebody's going to go to jail. Someone's going to go to jail.
That's
what he does. A firefighter wouldn't be a firefighter unless he what?
Put out fires.
Puts out fires. And let me tell you, God would not be God unless he dealt with sin. I mean, God has to deal with sin. He is so righteous and so holy and so pure and so majestic. He's so clean. He can't even be in the presence of sin. Don't take it personal. This is not personal. Mm-hmm. Just God cannot be in the presence of sin. So he says, listen, I have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And so my wrath and my judgment could be on you. Or if you repent mm-hmm. and you turn from these wicked ways, I provided the ultimate sacrifice for you. Mm. The wrath could be on my son. He all the sins could be transferred over. He has taken up our sins. And has forgiven us. I mean, forgiveness is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you choose. We choose.
That's right.
And so we have to realize that God is a just God. Don't take it personal. Don't identify with your sin. Get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Quickly.
Exactly. So turn from their wicked ways. Then, Pat. I heard someone once say is that your first step determines God's second step. Mm. Your first step determines God's second step. Well, I just want God to do this and I just want God to do that. Like, dude, if you draw near to God, then God will draw near to you.
That's right.
What is your first step? What is the church first step? Mm. You know, think about that song. I'm turning back to a heart of worship. You know, where it's all about you. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to turn back and take that step so that then I will hear from heaven. And this is the interesting that gets to me, Pat. It's like, then I will hear from heaven? Mm. Where do we get these misconceptions that we can live in sin and just live any which way mm-hmm. and then just... And like God hears that prayer.
That's right.
Like, oh, and then he gets blamed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's blamed. I've been praying 15 years for this. It's like, really? You know what I'm saying? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did God even hear those prayers?
Mm-hmm.
Did God even hear them?
That's right.
I mean, you got to take inventory. You got to take inventory. I mean, think about it. You yourself.
if people were disrespecting you and not listening to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to you and just blatantly all out, are you going to hear anything they have to say?
Mm-mm.
You're not going to hear them. And we who are men who are corrupt, you know, then people fall on the, you know, well, God's merciful. Yeah, he is merciful. You believe you me. Yeah, he is merciful.
Mm-hmm.
But he winks at our sin or that he hides from our sin. No, he calls it for what it is.
That's right.
You know, and he made a way. So then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Mm-hmm.
Our land needs a healing. Our country is a cup of trembling. We've had all these sacrifices to Moloch. You know, it was at least 3,000 children a day, Pat, are being aborted and killed.
That's right.
I believe that the statistic is 3 per state every hour of continual sacrifices. What it is. Mm. I mean, just got to think of what it is.
Mm.
And it's like, and God, you know what I'm saying? He winks at that.
Mm-mm.
He's supposed to turn the other cheek? He's supposed to just ignore that? And look at our land. I mean, we just shared yesterday that we have not experienced a drought. And you can see this on the VFN Torch. You see the VFN Torch. There's a picture of the drought just 2 days ago. Mm. There's a current picture that shows most of the country, Pat, most of the country.
Right.
In this devastating drought, and it has different like measurements of, you know, bad, like severe, extreme.
Right.
There's portions that are like massive portions that are in extreme. We reported yesterday that some of these droughts, this drought has not been seen since the 1800s.
Mm.
You know, our financial systems are crumbling. I mean, everywhere you look, everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And the thing is you better get out of them trees. You better get out of them false things that you've been hanging on, because it's all going to come coming down.
That's right.
You know, we need to run to the vine. You know, Jesus
Absolutely.
Is all that shaking has happened. Let me tell you, if you're a branch, if you're in him, you're going to weather every storm. It's amazing that during a hurricane, when everything is blowing, it's them big trees, it's them lofty things that get uprooted and slammed to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow them vines, they survive. They just, you know, they move in the wind and enjoy the breeze, but they're not going nowhere.
That's right.
But them vines stay planted, they stay good.
That's right.
You need to get plugged away and connected with what the Lord is doing and turning your heart and your life. And the way a nation turns, Pat, the way a nation turns, and we all say, if you want to change the world, right?
Mm.
We got to change the state. And if we can just do it, you got 50 states. That's easy, Pat. You know, one state, change a country. You don't want to change the United States. You know,
mm-hmm.
Let's just start with the United States, right? Not the world. You deal with the 50 states. It's just 50 of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you change a state, really, you got to change. Let's see. It's out there in Florida. How many counties are in New York, New Jersey? You know, county, right? We got to start with the counties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. Let's start with the cities. The cities are more manageable because everybody has a city. God speaks about cities in the Bible all the time.
Right.
Location is important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with the cities. Got to change the city. Well, no, we got to get a little bit closer. Well, we got to get with the families. The families represent the community. It's the community.
Right.
You got to go into communities first. Got to go into communities. Then we realize, wait a minute. If we want to get closer to change now, we got to deal with the families, because the families represent the communities that live in the city, and the cities live in the state, or the cities live in the county, and the county are in the state, and the state is in the nation. So we got to deal with the family that's in the community.
Huh.
It's like, wait. It's not about the county. It's not about the families now. How about the individual?
Huh.
How about the church? We're talking about the church. We're talking about the church.
Right.
If my people, if me, a whole nation could be turned, Pat.
That's right.
If every believer will turn their heart to God, will seek his face and turn from their wicked ways and cry out to a loving God. Let's do it. My goodness. If my people. You see, church, if we're gonna turn this nation around, this nation is going to be saved for God. If we're going to have a great awakening in this nation, then it all starts with us. It starts with you, with me, the individual. It starts with us doing an inventory and just getting
to the place where we're going to not make excuses. We're not going to settle for religious experience. We're not going to settle for just going to church when we can be the church. We're not going to settle for what religion has made it out to be.
Right.
But we're going to turn it back. We're going to turn it back to having a relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing him, hearing his voice, abiding with him, getting the sin out of our life and saying, you know what? Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. He's not just my savior. He's not my co-pilot. He's not the man upstairs.
That's right.
He is my loving savior. He is the Lord of my life. I want to encourage you today. The Lord is drawing you. I want you to go to meetmyfather.org. Some of us have shared our experiences, where we've came from, and what our life was like outside of knowing God, some trials, and what happened, what was going on in our lives where we decided that that definitive moment, there was a definitive time that we said, you know what, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I want to encourage you. You want to be encouraged. You want to know others have been on this journey. Go to meetmyfather.org and check some of the stories out. Read what God has done in the lives of his people. And let me tell you, true transformation is possible because the transformer comes in to live inside of you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
And so I encourage you right now, you know, practice, you know, 10 minutes a day, you know, turn off Batman, you know, just pause for a moment. That's why when we talk about an abiding plan with God, you know, and if you don't abide with God, you know, we got a plan for you to help you out and encourage you. It's at iabide.org. You go there and read a little bit and you can request your own plan free. It comes to you instantly. That's why we talk about doing it with a pencil or a pen and a blank journal, your Bible and you, because you've got to learn how to be with God alone again.
Yeah.
Right. You have got to hear his voice, because it's not like it used to be, you know, prior to, you know, the New Testament. You're going to have to know the shepherd's voice.
Right.
He said, they know my voice. There'll be a day that the Son of Man comes. And you will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and you shall live.
Yeah.
My sheep know my voice and follow none other. Listen, there's a lot of people right now. I don't know why. I kind of know why. I mean, it boils down to money. I mean, it boils down to paychecks. It boils down to, you know, the atheist that was being interviewed by Diane Sawyer, which you can see on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. He's leading, you know, what they refer to as a large gathering or a mega gathering, mega church of Christians.
Right.
Wow. But he says, you know, I'm an atheist. Hmm. He says, I'm an atheist and I can't tell them I'm an atheist. They have like a little black thing across his eyes. It's like, dude, they know who you are now. Hopefully they'll fire you, you know.
Right.
And, but in that, you know, he was saying, this is the only trade I know. Well, ministry is not a trade.
Exactly.
Ministry is not a trade. That was the Church of England.
Mm-hmm.
That was a trade. You know, you would get on with the Church of England, which the king or the queen was over, and you'd work for them, you know. But true ministry, you know, is a servant and that walks in obedience to the master and to our shepherd. And, you know, abiding with him alone, abiding with the Lord alone, you, God, your Bible, a blank journal, a pen, and go to iabide.org and look at some simple things that even 8-year-olds are able to do it and hear the voice of God and get used to hearing his voice. You want to hear his voice on this side of what's about to happen.
Amen.
Because you're going to hear a whole bunch of voices on the other side. And it doesn't, you know, the devil doesn't go away when things get bad. He cranks it up.
Yeah.
You know, liars don't get quiet when things get bad. Liars crank it up.
When you think about all that's going on right now, of all the people who are trying to have a relationship with whoever, whatever's going on, and what better person have a relationship with than Jesus Christ.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean,
think about that, you know, Jesus said himself, you know, man should not eat and live up by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeah. If there's ever a time to be living out of the words of God and what God has said, now is the time.
When he tells us, he says, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can only have a lower level of heaven. Is that what he says?
No.
He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Most everybody but the 12 disciples left him. I mean, he had a huge crowd at that point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, this is a difficult teaching because they were all looking at things in the natural. They're thinking like, I am not going to take a bite out of Jesus. You know, I am not going to drink his blood. I mean, that's the biggest offense to a Jew because you did not, blood was the one thing you did that you didn't mess with.
Right.
But he wasn't talking about, his words that he was speaking were not flesh. They were not about flesh and blood. They were spiritual. And you spend time with God, abiding with God alone. And he, when you do this, just like Ezekiel chapter 2, that he his spirit comes inside of you to the point where all of a sudden you begin to have this encounter and God speaks to you and lifts you up and gives you direction. Your call will come when you're alone with God. You know, it won't come in this public place, you know, where men are telling you. I mean, it'll come when in your encouragement and your enthusiasm, your inspiration, the food that's going to give you strength, the manna that's going to carry you is what you get. Your daily bread that you get from God in your abiding relationship. I encourage
daily
you.
Bread,
yeah,
your fresh bread.
Yeah,
Not what someone else read in the little book, and not what someone posted on online, and you know that's good. I look at the disciples when they were looking for where's Jesus? He was seeking the Father up early. You know, you gotta seek him.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. It reads, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of the dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked, those who choose to stay in sin, is like deep darkness. They do not even know what makes them stumble." I mean, there's nothing more beautiful. Listen to this. There's nothing more beautiful than watching a sunrise. I remember when Donna, myself, and the children were in the Grand Canyon, where everyone just kind of stood on the edge of the canyon early in the morning hours as we're watching the dawn of the morning, the sun rising, and all the beautiful colors of the Grand Canyon were reflecting as the sun hit it. And it was just this awe moment, you know, like the awe moment that became imprinted on our hearts and our minds. All that gathered stood in silence, only to whisper quietly if they felt they needed to talk, because its beauty seemingly had a voice that was speaking to each of us, saying, shh, this is a special moment. And words must not be spoken. The sun moved slowly higher and higher, and as we silently watched, it got brighter and brighter until once we stood in darkness, now we were suddenly in the full light of the day. It was just a beautiful moment, an awe moment. This is what it's like for those who choose to walk rightly before the Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, walking obediently in the light of His Word, in view of His mercy, and because of His grace, your life just gets brighter and brighter. It's sort of like the moon reflects the sun. Well, you think about it, we reflect the S-O-N, the light of God's glory in our life. Less of us, more of Him, all of a sudden it becomes all about Him and not about us. It's totally opposite for those who choose to walk in darkness. It's anything but silent or respectful. And definitely there's no awe moments in sight. Most of the moments around them, these experiences, they're more like ouch instead of awes. Those who choose to walk in darkness, those who choose to walk outside the grace and the lordship of Jesus Christ, who choose to walk openly in sin and not make Jesus the Lord of their life, their lives get darker and darker and darker. It's amazing how you can see someone's beginning this journey of rebellion towards God, maybe a rebellious teenager, a rebellious man, a rebellious woman. When they first decide to go in this way of their life, declaring openly or silently in their heart, I'm not going to live for God, but myself. At first, it seems like they look like everyone else. But as they continue to walk in darkness, they begin to morph, if you would, morph into some like worn, tattered, scarred existence. Though they are possibly young, they look like they've already lived a full life and now are living on borrowed time. They may have physical cuts and bruises as well as emotional cuts and bruises because of the darkness they've chose to walk in. It blinds them because they can't see. Paul says their minds are blinded by the god of this world, blinded by Satan, the darkness they chose to walk in. Realize there's something worse than blinded eyes. It's a blinded mind that can't see. It's someone thinking they see clearly when they don't understand that they're blinded by their choices. And that's what's causing so much pain in their life. Because of all this darkness and this blind mind, it makes them stumble. But they can't see why. They can't see what's causing them to stumble. They typically lash out at others, blaming everyone for what they are personally causing in their own lives to happen by their own choices. They blame others because they can't see. It's their choices. It's them because they chose to walk in darkness. And they become jealous and envious of those who get brighter and brighter, not realizing you chose to walk in darkness. You chose not to walk in light. They stumble in the workplace. They stumble in their relationships. They stumble in their families. They stumble in their communities, bumped and bruised, yet often ending their days sitting in darkness. The darkness of their choices, each night with their heart stewing with blame, thinking someone else has done me wrong. Today's wisdom moment, Proverbs 4, 18 through 19. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of the dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked, the one who chooses to walk in darkness, is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.